San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And you can hear us on iTunes if you search It's Your Money and Your Life for free. And we're also on AM760KFMB.com and also our website, iymoney.com. All the podcasts are there commercial free. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a philanthropist. He's a best-selling author and a marathon runner and an accomplished family office expert advising several high net worth families. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. I'm resting up for the half marathon tomorrow morning.
Now, where's that going to be?
America's finest city half, the AFC half. It starts at the Cabrillo National Monument in Point Loma.
Uh-huh.
And runs down towards the airport.
Over the Laurel Street Bridge.
Harbor Island. And then, yeah, we get to climb 2 miles uphill, up A Avenue, and then six up into Balboa Park, over the bridge, and finish right there over by the Hall of Champions.
I remember that race well. That was my first.
That was your one and only,
my first and last half marathon.
Still have nightmares?
1984.
Still have nightmares,
Tony Gwynn was still playing the Padres, and he was living up in Poway, and I remember that was a hot, hot summer. And
Joe, did you say 84? Well, then you should be out there. It's your 30th anniversary.
I'll be at the finish line. I'll give you a bottle of water. So,
or a six pack.
Yeah, but anyway, what else do we want to talk about?
I had almost 300 people at my book signing Tuesday night. That was cool.
For
Marriott.
For What's Your Play?
So What's Your Play?
The whole story of the
my bestseller.
Right, the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King.
It's still best-selling.
People still, you have a website, so whatsyourplay.com, right?
Exactly, and we got the U.S. Open coming up, so tennis is really in the news again.
It's a big deal. And let's see, that... that's the story of you being the scrapbook maker for Bobby Riggs when you were a youngster. So it's a fascinating story.
Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King, the Battle of the Sexes, the women's liberation movement, exciting stuff.
There you go. Well, speaking of sports, I know you and I are in this little battle about the Padres. I say they're going to finish. They're six games back in the wild card, and they're coming on. They're 16-8 since the break, but I know they're coming up on a rough road trip. We'll see how well they do. But they're a different team, you got to admit, from the first half.
Different than what?
Come on, they're playing.
They still don't hit.
They just won five in a row. Give them a break.
Okay.
You're a season ticket holder, and you're putting the team. I don't believe this.
I love the Padres. I just don't think they're going to hit 500.
They're playing, 667 ball tonight? That's unreal.
Joe, you can't hit 500 when you're batting 225.
Oh, man, they hit a couple monster homers. Like, give him a break. Let's just
look
at Dick Enberg. I emailed Dick, and he said, he said, the winning is a wonderful panacea. So, but speaking. Okay. Speaking of panacea, on the line we have, you know, this week has been kind of a tragic week with the loss of Robin Williams. And I don't know if I ever told you this, Richard, but I used to go to the Improv in San Diego in Pacific Beach, 832 Garnett, former site of Moondoggies. That just closed. But I went there from 84. I made it my business to get to know the owner at the time, Mark Anderson. And, of course, the franchisor was a godfather in the world of comedy clubs because he started in New York in the 70s. And 60s even. Okay. Anyway, don't blow my thunder there. But on the line, we've got the host of A&E, Evening at the Improv, and just a giant in the world of stand-up comedy and comedy in general. His name is Bud Friedman. Bud, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. Again, all things considered.
Yes, yes. Well, anyway, I remember in 1985, December 11th, I looked it up, as a matter of fact, you brought down a trainload of talent for your first anniversary party down here in Pacific Beach at the Improv Club, and what a night. I remember in the audience, B. Arthur, Ruth Buzzy, Robert Hayes, who weren't even on stage, and then you put this great lineup of comedy up there to showcase everything, I sat with the crew from Channel 10. I worked there at the time, and the highlight of the night was Jonathan Winters and Robin Williams getting up there for 20 minutes. And, man, all Jonathan Winters had to do was move his jowls, and I was on the floor. But that whole room was in the orbit that particular night, and you must remember it vividly, correct?
I not only remember it vividly, but, of course, with Robin's untimely dying, I pulled out a picture that we have from that night with their both handles holding the candles from the table.
I remember that.
And Robin has a plant of, what's that, Christmas red flower?
Oh, poinsettia.
Poinsettia,
yes.
Poinsettia in his other arm.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, By the way, I don't mean to correct you because it's your show, but it was our opening, not an anniversary.
It was? Okay. You opened in 80. I thought he opened in 84.
He opened in 85.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever.
In any case, you're right about the crowd and about the Robin and Jonathan being on stage together.
Yeah.
But you know how that came about? I did something I've never done before or have done since, but I called Robin and told him that Jonathan Winters was coming to the opening and he loved to be there. And Mark Anderson, whose family were friendly with Jonathan, called Jonathan and said, Robin is coming and he'd love to see you there. And we got them together on the stage for the first time.
How cool was that? You leverage one against the other. Good move. Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened before or since, has it? Did they ever do it? Right?
No.
Yeah, boy, that was incredible. All I know is everybody left that room. They were like a dish rag. It was just so hysterical. Now, you must have talked with Robin quite a bit. I mean, he was, and I got to chat with him only briefly, but he came, when he was off stage, he seemed like a very soft-spoken, almost shy and retiring guy. But you would think with his career, you know, being on top of the world, who knew he was suffering depression like this? I mean, and he's not the only comic that goes through this, right?
Excuse me, he's not the only person that goes through that.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think that depression is a disease of comedians.
Right.
A lot of Americans suffer from depression.
Absolutely.
It's something we're becoming more aware of and probably, hopefully now, something to be done about it. Mark Anderson also suffered from depression.
Yes, I know.
So,
yeah, look at Walter Cronkite, some other, I know a lot of notables suffered with this. There's another great national newscaster also, the name escapes me right now, but and I don't think it hits high-powered or notables more than the general population, is your point, right? I mean, a lot of veterans, obviously. Do you have any fond memories of Robin or any stories you'd like to tell that would be of interest?
Well, of course, my favorite story is the one I just told, but Robin also saved my ear on Melrose Avenue. In 1979, we had a fire that burned down the whole showroom. And I was out of business more or less for 8 months. And when we reopened, Robin very graciously donated his services. In 1979, you can realize how hot he was.
Mm-hmm.
History. And he did a concert for me at the club, you know, all the proceeds going to me. And the improv.
Wow.
And kept us going. Yeah, you know, really gave us a jump start, gave us some money and put some money in our pockets, but also gave us a lot of publicity, obviously.
Wow, that was kind of
really great.
Well, I remember back in the early days, there was obviously the Comedy Store and yourselves, and there came a point in time where it seemed like some comics were only allowed to play one club and not the other. Of course, Robin was so big, I mean, you'd be stupid not to have him play in your showroom, but there was that little bit of rift going on there at the time, but Robin stood above everybody, right?
Well, yeah, Robin and you know, I did not have that rule. That was a Mitzi Shore rule.
Okay.
And Jay Leno said to Mitzi, because Jay came out here about a year before I did.
Mm-hmm.
But he started with me, and I used to manage him. So Jay said, well, I guess I'll have to go to the improv then, Mitzi, because, you know, Bud used to manage me, and I'll go, oh, you can work both places. And hey, those guys who had the balls to say something
mm-hmm.
about working both places, which was as it should be, because, you know,
right.
to help, you know, she says her club is a university.
Yeah.
Well, this is a place where they've got to learn, and they can't learn if they don't get a chance to perform, hopefully a couple of times a night.
Yeah. But anyway, Bud, I just wanted to thank you for coming on. We have to kind of wrap it here, but for all you've given in the world of comedy, we'll get you on again. We'll do like a whole hour with you because obviously you've got tons of stories and more to talk about, right? So thank
you. One non-comedy story. Last night,
mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney came in.
Oh, wow. My God.
So,
all right. Well, we'll get more. We're going to have you back and we'll talk all about that. Thank you so much.
I'll try to bring Paul with me.
All right.
That's a deal.
All right. We got to take our break right now. I'll be right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life right after this. Hang on.